Judges chapter 6. The last two Sundays we've talked about crossroads and we've talked about thorns. And today we're going to talk about faith. But not any type of faith, but courageous faith. Because I think we all understand what faith is and how many times we make decisions by faith. We walk by faith. We're trusting the Lord by faith. We're waiting on the Lord by faith. But then there's sometimes where we have to exercise our faith, but it takes courage to do it, especially in the opposition that you know you're going to face. And Judges chapter 6 is the account of Gideon. We're probably all familiar with Gideon and how God gave him victory over the Midianites. And how, because it's taught in Sunday school, and how they had their sword in one hand, they had pitchers in the other hand, and or not swords, but they had torches in one hand, pitchers in the other hand. They broke the pitchers to make a loud noise, and when the armies of the Midianites and the Amalekites and the armies from the east, you know, kind of woke up in the middle of the night and just they were confused, right? I love the fact that God can bring confusion among his enemies, but give wisdom to his people. But we're going to talk about courageous faith and how to walk by faith, how to respond by faith, how to obey by faith, and having courage to be able to do it. Because sometimes, again, we know that it's faith that pleases God, but sometimes we might still be a little apprehensive. We might even be a little intimidated, depending on what the situation is, who the person is that you have to deal with. And sometimes you might just be afraid about what to say and what to do, but it's God that gives us the faith and gives us the courage as well if we will just trust him and obey his word and his leading in our life. So Judges chapter 6, let's read verses 1 through 13. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Father, would you thank you again for the time we can have together. Father, thank you for the word that's been read. We ask that your word would go forth and do what it's intended to do, what your will is in all of our hearts. We ask that you would establish our thoughts this hour. Help us to be guided by you. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice as you speak to us. Help us to learn the lessons you want us to learn. Help us to be reminded of the things you want us to remember. And through it all, Lord, help us to continue following you by faith, trusting you, and Lord, just leaning upon you, relying upon you, Father, because you've never failed us. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you. I pray, Lord, if there be any area in our life that we need to confess to you, we would confess it. We would allow you to have full control of our life because you bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we belong to you, and we thank you. You've given us the power to become the sons of God, to become the children of God. Thank you for the inheritance that awaits us. But Father, help us, Lord, to just be the light in a dark world. Help us to shine bright because we're allowing Christ to shine in us and through us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I think we're all familiar with Gideon and the book of Judges and how God would raise up at different times a different judge to deliver God's people out of oppression and affliction because of their poor choices. Again, God sends a prophet to the people to remind them of what God had done for them, how God brought them out of slavery. He saved them. He delivered them. He redeemed them. He brought them into the promised land. He told them, don't follow, don't worship the false gods of the Amorites in whose land that you dwell. But they disobeyed. They followed after false gods. And because of that, God would chasten them by allowing them to be afflicted and oppressed and sometimes imprisoned by God's enemies to get their attention, to turn their hearts back to God. And in this chapter, we see where they do. They cry out to God because of the oppression they're in, because of the way that they're being treated, that no matter how much food they grow, the enemy would always come in and destroy it. They had no animals. They had absolutely no sustenance. They don't have homes to dwell in. They're living in the mountains. They're carving out caves in the mountains. They're living in dens. We find Gideon. He's hiding behind a wine press, threshing wheat, trying to provide some food for his household. So there are times in our life where there are difficulties in our life, and God's trying to get our attention. And there's times in our life where we might allow ourselves to start thinking, why is God doing this? Where are the miracles I've heard that God has performed? And that is what Gideon asked the angel of the Lord in verse 13. When he hears the angel of the Lord in verse 12 say, the Lord is with thee, Gideon doesn't understand. He's thinking, God's not with me. He's not with us at all because we have been afflicted. We've been oppressed for 7 years. And he questions and he says in verse 13, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord, and this is Gideon. Gideon is saying, but now the Lord hath forsaken us. What's the song that we sang? God never fails, and God will never leave us nor forsake us. But if we're not careful, when we're in the midst of a trial, we'll think God's forsaken us. When God is chastening us, and he does. I don't know if you've ever experienced the chastening hand of God. I have, because as a loving father who corrects a disobedient, wayward child, that's the way God deals with us, not because he hates us, not because he wants to destroy us. He wants to keep us safe. He wants us to come back under the shadow of his wing. He wants us to understand that this world is just going to chew you up and spit you out. He's given us a free will. And all of us have the free choice of deciding what we want to do and what we don't want to do. But I'm sure the adults in here can testify to the younger generation that, no, it is better to trust the Lord. It is better to follow his ways. It is better to get wisdom from the Lord and to listen to people that God brings into your life to give you wisdom, who have been down the road quite a ways and maybe have made the wrong choices and wants to help other people, the next generation, not to make the wrong decision, to make the wrong bad choices. We try to do that as adults, as parents, but still understanding the child, as they get older, the adult you're trying to encourage, they're still going to make their own choice, and it may not be according to the wisdom that you try to instill in them and give to them. But speaking individually and thinking individually about yourself, never allow yourself to get to a place, forgetting the things which are behind. Maybe you've been in this place before, but forget what's behind you. Think about where you're at now and moving forward. Never allow yourself to get in a place where you believe God has forsaken you. Because that is what Gideon says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us. No, he hasn't. Because at the moment, Gideon doesn't see God is talking to you through the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in this chapter is an appearance of Jesus Christ. Because in this chapter, he'll go on, Gideon will go and he'll provide a sacrifice. He'll get a baby goat. He'll provide some broth. He'll bring it back. The angel of the Lord will tell him, put it on this rock. Pour out the broth, but put the meat on the rock. And the angel of the Lord will touch the meat with his staff. It will be consumed by fire that comes out of the rock. And the angel of the Lord vanishes. Then Gideon will say, he's going to be afraid because I've seen God face to face. And shall I not die? And the Lord will speak to him and say, be not afraid, you're not going to die. Because God has come to Gideon to use him, to anoint him, to use him in a very great way to deliver God's people out of oppression, out of affliction. But as we go through this account, I want you to think to yourself about things in your life that you're facing, that you feel kind of oppressed or afflicted by, something that you have to deal with, someone that you have to talk to, something you have to change in your life, something you kind of have to reject in someone else's life because you're living your life now. Because in this chapter, Gideon is going to be told by the Lord to tear down the altar to Baal that his father has and to cut down the grove that's next to that altar to Baal. So he's going to be at a crossroad that he has to decide. Is he going to fear man and not obey God? Or is he going to obey God and do what God says, knowing, you know what, there's probably going to be opposition. There's going to be somebody who's going to be against me for doing this, but I'm going to do it because God wants me to do it. God wants me to get rid of anything in my life and in my family's life that's not pleasing to the Lord and that could be a hindrance in our life. I think you would agree this morning, worshiping false gods would be a hindrance and a problem in somebody's life. I want you to see here in this chapter in the beginning that there was fear among God's people. There was fear because of the enemies of God. It says in verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And when you keep reading, obviously Gideon is behind the winepress. Fear has gripped not only Gideon, but the nation of Israel. They're not willing to stand up for what's right. They're not willing to trust God and let God be their shield and their defense. They're not willing to fight back and push back against what's false and what's a lie and what is against God. They kind of give in to it by being fearful. He's hiding behind a winepress. And fear, when you have to deal with something in your life that you really don't want to and you allow fear to grip you, it will cause you to isolate yourself. It will cause you to be discouraged. Fear, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. All right? We are new creatures in Christ. He's given us the ability to stand up for what's right, to resist what's wrong, all along depending upon the Lord, allowing his strength to be the power that helps us to say no to what is wrong. But when you think about fear, fear will paralyze you from doing what's right. Fear will cause you to start doubting even what God is doing in your life. In verse 22, Judges chapter 6, verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Instead of being encouraged, he was afraid because God appeared to him in the angel. God spoke to him through this angel. If you haven't been walking with the Lord and trusting the Lord, again, fear will cause you not to draw nigh to God, but to draw away from God. Not to trust God, but to resist God. So don't give in to fear, because fear is going to cause you to isolate yourself from the Lord. It will cause you to be discouraged. The Bible says, "For God not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." God has already instilled in you love, power, and a sound mind. That power comes through his Spirit. His Spirit that resides within every believer. Fear is what the devil wants to sow in the minds of people. Being fearful to tell somebody else, you know what? That's wrong. And people will say, "Oh, now your Bible says, judge not, you can't judge me." And they really take it out of context. They don't know scripture, because Jesus teaches, if you have a beam in your eye, if there's something you know is sinful in your life that you're hiding, don't point out something in someone else's life until you've made things right with God and you're not living in sin. Because everybody needs to be told that they're wrong, because some people may not know that they're wrong. Because a lot of people will do what the masses are doing, what they hear, what they're told. And a lot of it is going the wrong direction. For time's sake, we won't read it, but when you read the rest of this chapter, when you get into chapter 7, I believe it's chapter 7, where he has to go and he has to tear down this altar. He has to tear down the altar that his father has. Now, God's not telling us in scripture that you need to go to your parents' house and rip up everything you think is wrong in their house. But what it shows us for us today is that just because somebody in your family is doing something that seems religious doesn't mean it's the right way. And that's what his father's house was doing, and even the men of the city who would come the next morning and want to kill Gideon for cutting down the grove and for tearing down the altar of Baal and for burning a bullock on the altar that was resurrected to God, it was a religious matter. They refused what Gideon had done, because their way was right to them, and they thought Gideon was overstepping his bounds, but Gideon was doing what God had told him. He was rejecting false religion, false ideas, and he was worshiping God the right way. He was taking a stand for his faith. And that's where courageous faith comes in your life, in my life, is there are times where you have to, not out of pride, not out of arrogancy, but out of love for God, stand for what is right while rejecting what is wrong in somebody else's life that might be a relative of yours. Again, it's not hating them. It's just, you know what? I can't associate with that anymore, because that goes against my faith. That goes against my relationship with the Lord. And you're also wanting to help them see the light and to come to the light and to truly follow Jesus Christ. Now, again, fear. There's many things in our life that we have to do that fear will always try to grip us, but that's where we have to rely upon the Lord. That's where we have to get our strength from the Lord. His grace is sufficient for when we have to do things that normally would hinder us and paralyze us from doing it. Again, Gideon questioned God's power and he questioned God's presence. Because Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." There are times, again, where God would deliver his people into the hands of the enemy, but it wasn't because he didn't love them. It was because of their disobedience. They would turn their back on God. If we at any time in our life turn our back on our God, we don't trust him, we don't follow him, we don't obey him, we just live our life how we want to without any recognition to God, without even wanting God to be a part of our life until things go bad, we can't expect him to help us until we make things right with him. I don't know if you've ever been on both sides of the fence, but I have. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I've tried walking the fence line. It doesn't work. You've got to be 100% on God's side to be blessed 100%. And God promises those blessings. But Gideon, because of what he saw God wasn't doing, he questioned God's power and he questioned God's presence. David said in Psalm 89, verse 49, "Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David," or the psalmist, "unto David in thy truth?" Again, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He always loves us. He already manifested the love on the cross of Calvary for us. But those questions will arise in our hearts and minds when we're not walking in unison with our Savior. When we're walking contrary to the Lord, we will fear, we will doubt, we will even question our salvation if we are walking wayward. And only you and God know if you're walking wayward. This is not me this morning pointing out anything in anybody's life. This is me helping us to see that God wants us to stay close by him. God doesn't want us to be gripped with fear. God truly wants to show us great and mighty things in our life. But here's the proving of faith, all right? Someone may be struggling in their faith, and this is where courage comes in. I know that God, he rewards those that will diligently seek him with all their heart, but I just don't know if he will for me. Well, this is where you have to have courage to act upon the faith that you know God's given you so that you can see the reward and the blessing. Look at verse 25, Judges chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him," unto Gideon, oh, here's this what I was talking about, "take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place." Let me just stop here and say this. Every household needs their own altar. And what I mean by that is every household needs their own relationship, their own worship, their own devotion to God. Once you move out of your parents' house, it's time to start building your house and your altar to the Lord, not continuing to rely upon the faith of somebody else. My pastor said this to me years ago, not just to me, but to the men of the church. He said, at some point, you got to stop riding on the coattails of other people and start walking your own faith. We get encouragement by other people. We get inspired by other people, but at some point, the inspiration has to come directly from God to you. There has to be something in your life and in your home. And listen, it doesn't matter if everybody in your home doesn't believe the same way you do or not, because I know there are homes where there's only one believer. That one believer needs to build a spiritual altar to the Lord in their home and stand up for what's right. Again, not being obnoxious, not being prideful, not being arrogant, not deriding the other person, but in your love and devotion to God, you're going to have that relationship. You're going to stand for what's true, and you're not going to let anyone else come in and tear down your altar that you've built to God. Now, Gideon is being told by the Lord, tear down the altar to Baal. Get rid of the false religions. Get rid of the false ideas, the false notions that you have, and build upon God's altar, right? And he gives a sacrifice, and the sacrifice, according to Romans 12, is to be yourself, to be the living sacrifice, all right? So every home needs to build upon the altar of God. Build your family upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the foundation of God's word, who Jesus is, who God is, and don't let anyone else come in and try to destroy that altar that is to the Lord. Now again, it says in verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was because he feared, now he's still gripped with fear, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. But at least he did it. He was still a little afraid to do this. Fearing what his father would say and do, fearing the men of the city, because this was a place where people came to worship. It was on his father's property. The grove and the altar to Baal was on his father's property. Everyone came there to worship Baal. But for 7 years, Baal didn't help them. Baal didn't help them one bit. Someone once said that faith is listening to what God says in his word and acting on it, and that's exactly true. Do I believe what God has said? You may still be a little afraid to do it. Gideon was still a little afraid, but okay, I don't think I can do it in the daytime. I'll do it at night. Sometimes that's with giving out tracts, giving a gospel tract to somebody, and it's like, oh, I'm a little intimidated to do that. Just walk up to a stranger and say, here, take this and read it. So what's the next best thing? When you're at the doctor's office, leave it on the table where you're sitting and you're waiting to be called back. You know, you can. There's things that you can do, and that's what Gideon did. He didn't disobey God because God didn't say do it in the daytime. He said just go tear it down. So he did it at night. So he fulfilled what God said, all right? And that gave him a little courage. Once he did it, it helped him not to be so fearful. In James 1, in verse 22, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We know what we are supposed to do, but we need to do it. We know what's right, but we need to act upon it, and we need to fulfill God's will. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Be obedient to God's word. Even if you're a little intimidated, God asks you to, you know what? You haven't been saying anything to this relative. You haven't known what to say, or you kind of felt intimidated, but you know that it's something that needs to be said. Well, ask God for help. God gives the help. God will give the courage. Have the courage to act upon the faith that God's given you, and God will meet you there. Because one of my favorite accounts, one of my favorite men in Scripture is Joshua. Go to Joshua chapter 1 real quick. God already knows what we're afraid of. He already knows where our struggles are. He already knows that we want to be obedient. We want to do what's right. We want to say what's true. And sometimes, you know, we're not quite sure what to say. We're not sure how the person's going to respond. We don't want to cause problems. But we want to be obedient. We want to, again, build an altar in our family, in our home to God that, you know, somebody else may not agree with. And let me just even say this as I'm thinking about it. You have your relationship with God. You run your home a certain way. If someone comes in to visit, they don't have the right to tell you to change things in your home. Because it's your home. Now, over the years, I've had people in my home. And there's been times where I've had to bite my tongue. I didn't bite my tongue to my wife. I told my wife how I was feeling, not about her, but about other people. And she's like, okay, you just got to, let's just pray about it. Let's just ask God to, you know. But then there was a time where something had to be said. The person wasn't happy until they thought about it, and then they realized they were out of line. And they apologized. And we felt better. But we didn't feel good when we kept it all bottled up inside, bitter and angry about it. Because God's already told us in his word, Jesus said, if your brother has aught against you, go to him. That does not just mean when you read scripture, it's not just, okay, someone's mad at you, you know, try to make peace with them. But what if you're upset with somebody? The worst thing to do is to always tell somebody else or keep it inside instead of going to that person, to that situation, and trying to make it right. Now, not everybody will receive it, but we're still told, live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us. Again, your home is your home. Where do we find Gideon? He's behind the wine press threshing wheat. He's trying to provide for his family in a time when there was no sustenance. What little he could get might be taken away if he's found out. But God speaks to him, and now he's got to trust the Lord. He's got to follow the Lord. And God tells Joshua in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, or verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He's telling Joshua, I'm going to divide the land up among the tribes, what I've already said I was going to do, but I need you to be strong and of a good courage. In verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Again, God wants us to be strong and courageous and have strong faith in him and God's ability to help us in God's direction in our life. Because again, all of us have an obligation, again, to build a spiritual altar to our God in our home, where husbands, fathers, we're leading our family to worship God. We're leading our family to follow God. And everybody in the home that has a relationship with the Lord, we're following because that's what we want. We want God to be glorified in our home. We want God to be praised and reverenced in our marriage, in our family. And sometimes we have to tell somebody, hey, no, we're not going to allow that. All right, you want to do that in your home, that's fine. But here in my home, we're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that. We're not going to allow you to watch that. We're not going to allow you to look up that on your phone because this is my home and I don't want that. I think you understand what I'm talking about. So again, the proving faith. Faith is growth in obedience to the Lord. Even though he feared God, yet Gideon would perform what God told him to do. He would tear down the altar to Baal. He would cut down the groves because it's not. Again, remember, faith is not self-confidence, but it's confidence in God. There's lots of things I can do that I'm confident in that I don't ask God for any help. But I still need to ask for wisdom that I keep doing it the right way. I still need to ask God to guide and direct me. And if it's something I'm not comfortable with, Lord, help me to have the courage just to speak the truth. Just to speak the truth. I don't know if you ever, being a pastor, sometimes you have to talk to people that you don't want to talk to. Not because you don't love them, but you know there's going to be an argument. You know there's going to be resistance. You know they're not going to listen. And sometimes, well, Lord, why am I even going to go talk to them? Because they're not going to receive it. It's because God still wants that person to hear truth. Still wants that person to see that someone loves and cares for them. So even as a pastor, there's times where I'm intimidated. I'm a little fearful of the Lord. I just don't want to do this. Can you send somebody else? And I tried to plug my ears because I don't want to hear the answer. Because the answer is no. I'm showing you and I want you to go take care of it. This is where Gideon's at. He has to do something that he really doesn't want to, but he does follow through because he knows it's better to obey the Lord. It's better to obey the Lord and let the Lord take care of the battle that may come against you for doing what is right. So it's not self-confidence, but it's confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Judges 6 and verse 12 says this, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I mean, when the Lord speaks to Gideon, he tells him, you're a man of valor. Even though he's hiding behind the wine press, God sees the potential in Gideon. That's why God chose Gideon. When you read through Scripture, God specifically chose the prophet. Each prophet he chose, he specifically chose Abraham, he specifically chose Isaac, he chose Joseph, he chose Mary, he chose the 12 disciples, right? God doesn't make a mistake when he chooses people to do his will. He chooses people that he knows that he can use. He already knows the outcome. He just wants willing vessels. He wants you and me to be willing to let him use us to accomplish his will. Faith in God. Gideon saw God's potential. God saw Gideon's potential in his life. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Never forget, God's already started a work in you, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means there's many things he has started in you. He's helped you to overcome some sin in your life. He's helped you to have some victories in your life along the way, however long you've been saved. I'm sure you can look back and, yeah, I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I used to drink that. I don't drink that anymore. I used to smoke that. I don't anymore. I used to talk that way. I used to, all the things you used to do, but it has changed over the course of time because God is changing you more into the image of Christ because God's doing the work in you. And there might be even where, you know, you used to be timid, where you wouldn't say anything. You just kind of went along with the crowd because you didn't want to cause problems. You wanted everybody to like you, but you've kind of learned that, you know what? I can't have everybody like me, because if everyone's going to like me, that means I'm never going to be a shining light, because all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Somebody's going to be against you if you walk in the light as he is in the light. If you walk in the light of Christ, there's going to be people that are offended. But our confidence comes in our relationship with the Lord, and God blesses Gideon's faith. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It is walking by faith. Don't allow your eyesight to blind your spiritual sight. Your physical sight to blind your spiritual sight, because what you see doesn't limit what God can do through you and with you. God's not limited by anybody or any situation or anything. God is over all. Jesus said that he had all power, and there's nothing that he cannot do for us. Again, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whatever the situation is, whatever the person is, that God wants to help you face head on, rely upon the Lord. Rely upon the Lord. Let God help you in that situation or with that person. Gideon allowed the Lord. God's not afraid to show himself. I want to remind you of this. Look, if you would, chapter 6. Look down at verse 36, if you would. Even though God had told Gideon what he wanted him to do, he did it. God gave him favor. The men of the city, they came. They came to Joash's home. They found out Gideon tore down the altar of Baal. They found out Gideon had cut down the grove, cut down all the trees that they were worshiping. And they said, bring him out, we're going to kill him. And I believe God, speaking through Gideon's father, giving Joash, Gideon's father, the words to say, he says, wait a minute. If Baal has been offended, let Baal defend himself. See, the men wanted to kill Gideon for tearing down Baal's altar. And the wisdom of God through Joash says, look, If Baal is a true God and he's offended, let Baal deal with it. And they agreed to that because there is no other God but Jehovah. Yes, there are the enemies of God. Satan wants you to be fearful. Satan doesn't want you to stand up for right. He always wants you to cower down. But stand in the strength of the Lord. And if you even need a little help with your faith, God will help you. Because even though Gideon did what God said, he still found himself needing some help. In verse 36, Gideon said unto the Lord, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. God said, no problem. And God allowed it to be, and God didn't give him just a little bit of dew, but enough that filled a bowl. All right? And someone would say, well, how big was the bowl? It doesn't matter. God answered it. The ground was dry. The wool was full of water. Okay, Gideon's faith has got to be strong now. Well, no. Verse 39, Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Listen, I've heard many messages where it's been said that Gideon was in rebellion to God because God already said what he would do, and it was wrong for Gideon to do the fleece test. No, it wasn't. Because if it was wrong, somewhere in here God would have rebuked him for it. But God didn't. Because God knows our heart, and he knows our shortcomings. Our heart, remember? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know God can, but Lord, I need a little help. Lord, can you just help me to have a little courage? I know you said this, but if you will, can you just boost my courage some more? And God did. And not only so, I mean, you keep reading. God does the fleece test, no problem. But then when they come to the valley of Jezreel, where the armies of the Midianites, the Amorites, and all the armies of the east are all gathered together because they're going to come against Israel again and destroy their land and destroy their crops and everything, just keep afflicting, oppressing them. God tells Gideon, take one of your servants, go down into the valley, and you're going to hear someone talk about a dream that they had, and they're going to talk about the sword of Gideon. So he goes down there, and when he gets there, he's hearing two men talk about a dream that one man had, how a barley cake came rolling into their camp and destroyed a tent and all of this, and they heard, it's the sword of Gideon, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon said, all right, man, the fleece test, and now God, lets me hear what they're talking. So God has already given him victory, but he still had to obey. You know the rest of the account where he gets down to 300 men. Sometimes it just doesn't go the way we think it should. Because again, God still wants to show himself great and mighty in our life. And God says, 32,000 men that have gathered together to be with you, that's too many. And God dwindles it down to 300. 301 if you count Gideon. And Gideon, because his faith has already been strengthened, he's standing in the faith of God, he wins the victory. He wins the victory, but it took courageous faith. I know that you have faith, but there's times where, we have to have courage to act upon the faith that God's given us. Again, it may be withstanding somebody in love. It may be doing something that God's been pressing upon your heart to do, but you're a little afraid to do it. You don't, those thoughts of, well, I don't know if God's really going to be there and help me to overcome it, but he will. Again, God meets us right where that faith starts. God's never leave us nor forsake us. If we take the first step of faith, he's there. Because when you read the rest of the account with Gideon, having the torches and having the pitchers that they break, you only got 300 men. He divides them up into three companies of 100. So they at least got three sides of the army surrounded. And when you read, God causes the enemy to turn on themselves and to start killing themselves because of all the commotion, because of the faith that Gideon and those 300 men had. Now we think about Gideon, but think about the 300. The 300 that were among the 32,000. 32,000, that's a lot of people. We can do some damage, right? There's nothing that can stop us. 32,000? Wait a minute, where'd everybody go? Why is there only 300 of us? They had to have the faith that Gideon was following God and Gideon was being led by the Lord for them to follow Gideon to do what they were supposed to do. One man's faith infected 300 men with faith. Your faith is going to help somebody else, either in your family, your extended family, your marriage, your children, friendships, co-workers. Your faith, what they see, will help them. And that's exactly what it did with Gideon. It helped the other 300 men, and it helped his relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we do have to stand up for what God wants us to do and not allow the enemy to continue causing us to be fearful. Stand up for what's right. Follow the Lord. Let God give you the victory. Again, Jeremiah tells us, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Keep calling upon the Lord. Keep following the Lord. Keep relying upon the Lord.